and welcome to another absolutely catastrophic episode of We Only Look Thin. I am Catherine Weigel. I am one of your hosts. I have lost over 120 pounds and kept it off for over 6 years. I am a Tiny Habits Certified Coach. I am a Thrive Global Certified Coach. I hope I don't get any more certifications because this opening is too long. And with me today is...
Donald Weigel, and I have lost about 100 pounds. I have kept it off for about 6 years, and I am co-host of a podcast called We Only Look Thin, and we are here to do it right now. You're listening to it in your ears as I speak.
This is absolutely this podcast.
Oh, it's happening. Yeah, you said absolute catastrophe.
I know, that's kind of a big...
I know, that's like, I don't know if people like will want to keep listening if they know it's an absolute catastrophe.
I feel like... We're not clickbait because you already are listening to this episode.
Right.
And it's not called Absolute Catastrophe. It's called Never Say Never.
Never Say Never, yeah.
But like it's kind of clickbait. Like what? Never Say Never? Never? Yeah. Not even like Never Never Land?
Yeah.
Like,
no, we should try harder to be clickbait.
Yeah.
Like California doctors, this is the secret they don't want you to know.
Wasn't there a meme the other day that was like, oh, I spent most of my time in medical school learning things that we don't want you to know.
Yeah. Yeah, the best, it was like the best part of medical school was learning the secret
weird
weight loss success trick that we won't share with you. Yeah,
exactly.
Something like that.
So Donald, we call this episode Never Say Never.
Yeah.
What's that? Like, what do you think of when you think of Never Say Never?
Well, I think of the 80s band Romeo Void.
Yes.
Mostly because they have a song called Never Say Never, which is not the most family-friendly song in the world, but it is a banger.
So I'm going to change the lyrics.
It is a
bop. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Okay, so we're not going to say what they say, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say, which is this.
Yeah.
So, okay, it starts out, I might like you better if we snack together. See, I'm making it. It's like now kids bop appropriate.
Yes.
But never say never.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Boop, booty. Donald said it was the only song in history that appropriately used a saxophone.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say it was the only one, but yeah, that was one of the very few appropriate uses of a saxophone.
I never said only.
I'm about to alienate all of our saxophone loving and or playing listeners, but the sound of a saxophone typically drives me crazy in a bad way.
See, okay, but there was some like, there was like an Apple Jacks commercial when I was a kid.
I think.
I want to say Apple Jacks. These were my, before Pinterest. Okay, my parents never let me have Apple Jacks. Like, never.
Right.
They were like, no, you're not going to
No,
like
I know.
It.
And it's ruined your childhood and you're still bitter about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the worst thing that happened in my childhood.
Yeah.
But I remember there was a commercial where there were like kids and they were wearing like baggy shorts with suspenders and Ray-Bans. And they also were playing saxophones.
I'll never be as cool as those kids.
Oh, I've never say never.
I have never been and never will be. No, I can say never in this case.
Never say never. We're saying never a lot for... We literally said never say never, and we're already doing it.
I
but
know.
But in the commercial...
Well, we said it twice in the title.
We did.
Yeah.
But in the commercial, there were kids playing saxophones, and there were Apple Jackson everywhere. And I imagine...
You were Apple Jacksing? We're turning that into a verb?
Let's do the Apple Jacks, everybody.
Apple Jacks is now a verb. We're Apple Jacksing.
I don't know. It's kind of like pogoing, like the Apple Jacks.
Oh, yeah.
The Apple Jacks shuffle. I don't know. But I...
Apple Jacks shuffle.
I just imagined there being a, like... A world in which I was like, this is my mood board. Like, I want the saxophone. I want suspenders. I want the Ray-Bans. Like, that's kind of what my vibe was for seventh
grade. It's not too late. It's not too late. Oh. You could still do it. I think a photo shoot is in order. We need to do this soon.
Hi, everybody. Do the Applejack shuffle.
It's the Applejack's shuffle.
And turns
starring
out,
Catherine
now
Weigel.
Ask me about how I feel about Apple Jacks.
How do you feel about
they're
it
really
now?
Good.
Now that you're
sorry.
An adult who can have them whenever you want,
they're good.
Oh, okay.
Like I do like them. They're very
good. I thought that's not the direction I thought you were going.
So I know Romeo Void came to mind for you,
yeah.
Which it's a banger. It's a great song.
It is. That song slaps.
It slaps, as the kids say.
Yeah.
But I actually thought. I think what I thought was Five O'Mouskowitz.
Fievel Mouse.
There's a song in that. I can't remember what that movie was called with Little Fievel Mouse.
An American Tale.
Out there.
Literally, everyone knows it's called An American Tale. Yeah,
it was so good.
But it was spelled T-A-I-L, I think.
Oh, I don't remember. I'm not spell. Yeah. I'm not good spell. Yeah. So I don't really.
I'm not good spell. You're not good speak either.
No, I'm not. I can't actually remember if it was A Land Before Time. Or it was, what did you say?
It's called An American Tale. Fievel Maskowitz was not in A Land Before Time.
No,
that was dinosaurs.
It was, okay.
Get your cartoons straight.
Okay. I'm just saying it was the same production company.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't a Disney joint, as
the
kids
say.
That is
true. It was not a Disney joint. That is right.
But there was a song called Never Say Never, and it was like Fievel thought he was never going to see his family again. And then it was like, Never Say Never, little Fievel.
There was a song in that movie called Never Say Never.
I know. Well, the Somewhere Out There gets like that one, gets with like Peebo Bryson or whatever his name was. Like that one gets like the big.
Was that Peebo? That might have been.
Like that one gets like the big props. But Never Say Never was like, he was very nervous about not seeing his family. And then he saw his family. If you haven't seen it yet, he sees his family again. So
yeah, I decided to play the Romeo Void song shortly before we recorded this, and in the process of pulling it up, I discovered that Justin Bieber has a song called Never Say Never, but I've never heard it, and I
and
don't know what the words
I'm
are.
Never going to try to hear
no,
it.
I don't need to listen to it. Yeah,
you know, okay, we're gonna get to the point soon, but you know what happens. So I was going through our daughter's stuff. Look.
That sounds terrible. I was rummaging through our daughter's stuff looking for drugs.
When she first moved in with us.
Oh, yeah, okay.
As her roommate.
No, she probably didn't have drugs then.
No. Okay, when she was 8, I was like going through her, because we adopted her when she was 8 years old. And there was this little thing that she had, and she... It was a little note.
That's true. That might have been confusing for listeners. Like, our daughter moved in when she was 8. Yeah, we adopted her when she was 8. Okay.
But there was a little note that she had that said, "I love Justin Bieber. Just letting you know."
Oh, I forgot about that.
It's somewhere, and she is somewhere out there. Yeah. There is a little sign. And she occasionally will act like we forced her into being girly.
Yeah.
That there is no such thing. No. That did not happen. It was a little thing. She said, "I love Justin Bieber."
No, so. People like to rewrite history for sure.
They do. But we're never going to do that, are we, Donald?
No, we'll never, ever do that.
You know what is really important?
What is?
Writing your own story.
Oh.
But oftentimes, see, we're getting to it, everybody.
Yeah, see, that was a very like subtle transition from shenanigans.
This is like
into the
shenanigan shuffle. We're doing the Applejack shuffle over to the point of this podcast episode.
Yeah, we're doing the Applejack shuffle right into the important weight loss and fitness content.
Okay. So, how are they going to rope this one in? What does Fievel Maskowitz have to do with weight loss?
We'll never, ever get there.
And saxophones. Okay, so when we're writing our own stories, it is important for us to choose language that is helpful and not hurtful.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's a good point.
And when we make absolute statements about always and never, these big platitudes. Is that what it's called, a platitude? I can't remember if it was a platitude or a hyperbole.
Sure. No, that's a platitude, I guess.
Okay. So when we make broad statements about always and never, we can set ourselves up for failure. So when I said it paints us in a corner.
Maybe it is more of a hyperbole. I think a platitude is more like a saying people say that isn't really meaningful, but
the
time.
Okay. Anyway, I'm sure we'll get a comment on it. So thank you in advance.
Someone will correct us.
Right. So when we make black and white statements about our health goals, "I'll never do that again. I'll always whatever," we don't leave room for real life. And we don't make room for celebrating progress.
Yeah.
Right?
And it can go both ways. Like, you might be saying to yourself, like, "I have been on track for weeks now. I am never I'm never taking a setback. Like, I'm never going off the rails again. Like, I have this down. Like, I will always be on this path forever.
Right. And when like, things are easy and you're just like, I guess I'm fixed now. I wasn't hungry today.
Yeah.
Like, it's all behind me.
That's right.
Which I've definitely done that, where I'm like, yeah. Officially did not wake up hungry. Like, this is the new Jan Brady.
I am fixed. I will never be hungry again, apparently.
Yeah. Or the other side of that, of like, you've had a really, you know, rough weekend. Maybe you've totally gone off track and you've done that. Like, you wake up with regret the next morning and say, like, I will never do that again.
Yeah.
This is a lesson to me.
Yeah, it's like, almost like having a hangover,
yeah.
But like a food hangover, which I have definitely had the equivalent of a food hangover. And I've been like, oh my God, I can never do that again. And then cut to me like happily doing it again at some near future time.
Yeah. And that thing, and I definitely did this initially. I know I've talked about it before, but when I lost... when I was doing Atkins back in the day, in the land before time,
wow.
In the before times, in the long,
yeah,
when long
you
ago.
Were, you were hanging out with Fievel in the land before time.
I'm sorry, but Petrie is a member, and anyway, there are many good characters in the land before time.
Yeah,
but Fievel was not one of them. There
it's
was no
obvious
crossover.
Sometimes that you're a little younger than me because I missed the American tale Land Before Time.
Well, but I had younger siblings that I paid it, or actually, I'll yeah. change that I had to babysit. You
also, I'm a 54-year-old man who still watches cartoons, so I don't know what I'm talking about. I watch animated shows all the time, but I somehow missed the. I actually, to this day, have never actually seen an American tale.
Really? It's so yeah. good. Well,
yeah.
Fievel.
Yeah, I'm like, I obviously know about it, and that song was everywhere, but I've never seen it. Yeah.
It was all over the place.
Yeah.
But maybe you did what I did, which was when I did Atkins and lost 100 pounds, I sent an email, probably on AOL.
Yeah. You posted it on your MySpace page.
On my MySpace page, but probably was, saying like, I've lost weight, I've learned my lesson, I'll never be that 300-pound person again,
yeah.
I'm fixed. Literally sent that and then started gaining weight just after that, because making a giant statement like I'll never, I'll always, I've learned my lesson, it's not really realistic. And there are also people who have said things like, I promised myself I would never be this weight again.
Right.
Like that is a really big one.
Yeah. And I've done the same thing like over and over again. I remember, you know, have we done an episode about hubris or anyway, I feel like I've had those moments where I've been like, I am doing this forever. And it was like back when I was doing Atkins, you mentioned Atkins just now, but you know, it's like, I have got this down. Like I will never eat carbs again and everything will be fine. And then, you know, suddenly I'm like, you know, shoving pasta down my face at Pasta R Us. I couldn't think of one like pasta chain right off the top of my head.
Pasta R Us.
Yeah.
I actually, okay, I'm digressing for a second, but you know what? Oh, shocking. What?
No one expected us to digress at all.
Okay, when I was in Porter Ranch the other day, like yeah. I mentioned, there was
Porter Ranch is a town in California,
town.
By the way.
I was pulling into the parking lot and saw that there was a soup plantation. And I was like, oh, is there a soup plantation again? Like they have soups. They have salads. It's very
yeah, soup
like,
plantation was a wasn't it was an all you
fancy.
Can eat all you can eat chain, which sounds bad, but like they had so many great, you know, healthy options. It was a really nice go-to, like low-calorie friendly options, I should say, not just healthy, but it was a really great go-to when you were with a group of people and you were trying to like stay on a plan, because it was really not that hard to eat there and stay on a plan.
Right. So Donald and I would get like fill up on the salad bar, which was great. And they have, you know, low calorie soups, which is great. And then our daughter for $17 a person would just get a plate of shredded cheese.
Yeah.
That was her salad.
Well, and then she would put her mouth on the soft serve machine.
And that's why they closed. And, it wasn't yeah. the pandemic.
Yeah,
it was.
No,
anyway.
She didn't really do that, by the way. But
the sign is still up. It is for lease, and I'm sad. RIP.
Yeah, the chain went under during the COVID times.
Yeah. So anyway, but when we make big promises to ourselves, I told myself I would never gain the weight again. I told myself I would never overeat again. I've learned my lesson. This is also something that happens with when you hear about weight loss plans. And this is something that I actually used to believe, and now I have been disabused of it, is that thing of only do what you can do forever, ever, ever. Like, maybe forever and look, means...
We used to say that at the beginning.
I know,
I'm sorry.
Did.
I know I just cut you off. We used to say that early days of this podcast, and what I meant by that was not that you would do that forever, but do something that you don't hate doing. Do something that feels like that it's not complete dread so that you don't hate it and then stop doing it. Because I used to try and white knuckle and do all of these things that I really didn't like. And I would just rely on willpower and grit to like get myself through them. And then eventually I would quit because I ultimately hated doing them.
Right. And for me, that only do a weight loss plan that you can do forever, this is a lifestyle, that didn't take into account circumstance changes. So a season is actually what I meant by forever, and I didn't realize it. Like, I will always, I can't imagine never, like, not going on giant walks every day. I can't imagine doing whatever. When seasons change, your habits change. And when we allow for the idea of needing to pivot or change, we're leaving ourselves open to, like, not seeing ourselves as a failure when we stop something.
Yeah, because, like, we might make a promise in a moment of pain, or, you know, we hit that rock bottom that you were talking about, but that isn't helpful to our mindset because it doesn't allow for real life. And when we make these giant promises and then have a setback, it, you know, like you mentioned in the opening of the episode, it feels like a catastrophe.
Right.
It's like when you say you'll never do it again and then you do, you feel shame. And we also like lose trust in ourselves when that happens.
Right. And when we're saying the thing also, I'll never do that again, it feels like a blood oath. Right.
Right.
Like, it feels like...
Yes.
This episode has the Applejack shuffle. It's got blood oaths.
Absolutely.
It's
like
got
you,
dinosaurs.
Like we're making a blood oath to you that we will provide the best content,
you know,
out there.
It'd be better if we talked, it would be a shorter episode if we talked about what wasn't in this episode. But
it's true.
When we make a big promise, it feels like we're serious. Like if we're like, I'm going to make a small change. That doesn't feel like what? A small change? That's not exciting. Like,
right.
What's that about? Like, and it feels powerful and it feels like ambitious and it feels like momentum, but it's not. It's not. So like Donald said, when we catastrophize, when we do that never, always, oh my gosh, now I've relapsed and I'm a garbage person and this is proof that I can't get it done, that's when we go to extremes. Like, well, I overate today, so I need to go and burn it off at the gym all day tomorrow.
Yeah, like people punish themselves with exercise, and I used to do this too. And, you know, it's like exercise is not meant to be punishment, or at least it, in my mind, it shouldn't be punishment. Like, exercise is meant to improve the state of your body and also help your, you know, mental well-being. It's not meant to be, you know, well, I'm going to make myself feel terrible, you know. I'm going to exercise myself into you know, being a better person.
Exactly. And another thing we might do is, oh my gosh, I totally blew it yesterday. I went totally over my goals. So today I'm just not going to eat.
Yeah.
So that I like balance it out at the end of the week for my calories.
Well, and that leads to, sorry, I just cut you off again. That leads to a, you know, that vicious cycle of like, oh, I overindulged, so now I'm going to make up for it by like way under eating for a day or a few days or a few weeks. And then eventually you're like, I am so hungry and I feel so deprived that I'm going to binge again, like because I can't help it.
Well, and that is that punishment cycle of overindulging and then, you know, whether it's you know, exercise bulimia or actual bulimia or just super under eating as like proof that you really are going to pay a price, like you're paying penance for your poor choices, it adds a value judgment. Like, I am either a good person or a bad person. A bad person overeats, a good person like pays the price for that.
Yeah. And like another thing that it leads to, and it led to for me, you know, I would have an indulgent meal or an indulgent day, and I would be like, well, I may as well like just give up until next week. Or, you know, I'll have an indulgent meal in the morning, and it would be like, oh, I may as well just give up until tomorrow. Well, I've had an indulgent day. I'll give up until next week or next month or next year or next decade. Right. and just, you know, it was so hard to get back on track because I would just feel like, well, I've already blown it this far. Why should I bother, continuing to move forward?
Well, and Donald was talking about that, like, well, I'll just start again next week or next month or whatever. For me, what it did, like when I was on Weight Watchers, because I would need to go in for a weigh-in each week.
Yeah.
If over the weekend I went off track, I would feel guilt and shame. So I wouldn't go back to Weight Watchers. And then I would hide for 2 or 3 months in a shame spiral and gain more weight and then recommit when it got worse and then repeat that cycle over and over again. That's why I joined Weight Watchers 20 times.
Right.
Because every single time I went off plan, I felt shame. And then I was like, maybe I'll go in with a mustache so they don't know who I am. Like, maybe I'll get a new AOL email address so that I'll go to a new location, whatever. And I would do that. You imagine me with a mustache?
No, I was just imagining like, hey, that Weight Watchers client is actually three cats in a trench coat. Like, I don't know.
But that sort of leading to your behavior as shame is not good. There, I said it. It's not. I'm not afraid to say it.
Yeah,
some people won't give you the straight talk.
You're a straight shooter from the hip.
So this was a big pattern for me. And when I know I've talked about it before, and I mentioned it just a second ago, I at one point in my teens, 20s, and into my early 30s was bulimic, and that was sort of my way of undoing the caloric promiscuity that I had. I have since gotten past it. If you have serious issues with the eating disorder, please reach out to a professional. I was able to get through it on my own. One of the podcasts that we listened to called Brain Over Binge, I was listening to an episode, actually a two-part series, episode 52 and 53.
I'll link to them in the show notes if you want to check them out.
Where the host of the show interviewed a woman named Catherine Thompson, PhD. Okay, that's Catherine with a K. Just letting you know for
yeah, the
for
two
all
of you have
there.
To fight if you were in the same room.
Exactly. So Catherine Thompson coaches women with bulimia, and the focus of the two episodes, which I found very fascinating, and sort of is the meat and potatoes and apple jacks of this episode is
that's not a great combo, but
you've never
I
had. Know.
I guess I've never
apple
tried
jacks
it.
Crusted
no,
tofu. Or
I guess
anything?
I haven't. So I suppose until I try it, I shouldn't knock it.
Okay, so she was talking about bulimia recovery, but I think that this topic is really germane to anyone on their weight loss journey, is talking about instead of thinking of stopping a behavior 100%, that never say never, I'm never going to do it again, that was the before me, now is the new me. When we do that and we think of that sort of rigidity of holding our breath and just making sure it's never going to happen, her main focus for her clients was to focus on reducing the frequency of an episode, the intensity of an episode, and the duration of an episode. And all of that really resonated of seeing progress over time is a much kinder way to look at setbacks than seeing as, well, now I've got to set it back to zero. Now I had another episode.
Yeah.
So that means like, and people actually say this, like, I've ruined all my progress.
Yeah.
I'm back to zero.
As if, you know, you've been working hard for weeks or months, and then suddenly one meal or one day just destroys everything. And it's a really harmful mindset, and it's really difficult to achieve a long-term goal if you have the idea that, well, if I miss one day or one thing or I do one thing wrong, that the entire plan is derailed.
Well, and I remember in that movie, Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Versus everybody in the world or
yeah,
whatever it was called.
I think it's just called Versus the World, yeah.
So there is a vegan character. And they accidentally eat cheese and the vegan police come and arrest them because, like, obviously, you know, if you go over your calories, right. The calorie police are like, you're out. You're not a, you know, no inspiration for you, whatever. Like that all or nothing, back to zero, all is undone is really like that's catastrophizing.
Right, for sure. And, you know, I think that for me, when I realized that it was more important to aim for consistency instead of perfection, I think that was really a sort of, you know, eye-opening, mind-bending sort of idea that really helped me eventually achieve my goal. Like, because I really used to do that. Like, I would like have one, you know, in air quotes, bad day and then just quit, like, which, you know, in hindsight makes no sense. Like, why throw away everything that you've done before just because of a bad day?
Right. And you've said before, too, of like, why dig yourself deeper?
Yeah.
Which was exactly like the self-pity, like, I'm just going to...
Right,
know,
exactly.
That
was very self-piteous, the way that came out.
So we hear about progress, not perfection. We hear about it's on mugs, it's on stickers. There's so many things that it's on.
And mug stickers.
But... when you hear like, okay, well, how do I, like, what is progress? Like, how do I even measure that? There's no way to do that. In the abstract, it can be like, oh, that's a nice thing to say, but we're about to tell you how to do that, how to actually get to that point where you let go of that always, never failure thing and turn it into something kinder where progress really is important in your journey. And though Katherine Thompson talked about reducing frequency, intensity, and duration of a specific episode, we've switched it up and it's a small change, but frequency, volume, where volume talks about food, and the duration of an episode. So we're going to now present to you the We Only Look Thin players will present to you three ways to define...
Or maybe we're just going to say it.
We're going to say it, yeah. So three ways to redefine a setback. Instead of seeing it as failure, how are we going to look at setbacks? So when we're looking at three ways to define a setback or redefine a setback, we look at frequency, reducing the number of off-track events is progress. So for example, I used to overeat every single day. I used to get takeout. We used to get takeout every single day, basically.
Yeah,
every
almost,
meal was
yeah.
a party, right? Progress is, wow, now we only get takeout twice a month.
Right.
Now I only go off track on Saturdays. That is progress. Is it an ideal? Is it the perfect world? No, there's room for improvement for me. But when we are able to actually see that as progress instead of, well, that's not enough. Like I'm either perfect or I'm a garbage person.
Yeah.
When we look at it and go, oh my gosh, I really did used to eat out every single day. Now I'm getting salads most days. I'm cooking at home. I go off track every once in a while. When we actually celebrate that, we are letting go of that perfection ideal or that like, oh my, you know, oh, now I need to stop going to Weight Watchers and get three cats and a trench coat and go to a new, I think that's what you said.
Something like that. I don't know what I say.
But reducing frequency of off track events is really impactful.
And I think that it is not just for when you have an indulgent day or an indulgent meal, but also if you are at a place where you're starting from zero, basically, where you're just going from, you know, eating whatever you want all the time and you're trying to get yourself onto a plan. You know, we talked about it in our Habit Elementary series. Meeting yourself where you are and just realizing like, oh, I don't have to immediately go from this to, you know, 1200 calories a day,
right.
eating sad, like tasteless food that I don't like. I could gradually step it down it makes it so much easier and so much less daunting to go on that kind of a journey venture when you don't have to go straight to like perfection.
Right. And I think as part of that, you know, and a good example is, what if back in the day we just decided if we were eating out and overeating every single day, what if we decided Mondays were our days to just eat at home and not binge?
Right.
Like, that is progress. But at the time, it would have been like, well, that's not enough. I'm
yeah,
like,
that's not going to do anything.
That's going to do anything. Like, what if future us had gone, like, were able to go back to the us of 30 and 35 and be like, hey, buddy, why don't you just eat at home today? Like, how's that work? It doesn't have to be every single day. Improving by one day really does matter.
And so the middle part of frequency, volume, and duration. So an example of volume is reducing your volume. Maybe when you have an indulgent day, it used to be 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 calories, which I know sounds like a lot, but I used to easily mm-hmm. like knock that out in a day. Maybe your you aim for your indulgent day hits 3,000 calories or 3,500. Maybe you're stepping it back from the extreme 5,000, 6,000, and that is a victory because you're reducing the volume that you're eating on those indulgent days.
Well, and an example of that is when we would get takeout, we would get, like, for Indian food, we would get two kinds of naan, two kinds of bread, an appetizer, individual entrees, and we would each get a pint of Ben and Jerry's. That is not a joke.
And you left out, we used to each get our own entree, and then we would usually get a third entree to share.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to taste more things.
Right. Yeah. We wanted to taste the rainbow. But, like, so, for, like, in that terms of, like, well, how could someone eat 6,000 calories? Like, hold my beer. How about that?
I'm laughing because I could eat 6,000 calories with one hand tied behind my back pretty easily.
So, again, that, like, the progress is, oh, hey, you know what? Every meal doesn't have to be a giant party. We could not get the rice, not get the naan, each get an entree, and, like, have an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
Instead.
Still have Indian food, but have it not be a complete, like, utter eat as much as we possibly can, you know, fest.
Yeah, like, pump up the volume with, like, oh, I want the curry, but I'm going to have, at home, we've got cauliflower. I'll make a giant thing of cauliflower, so I'm still getting the volume, and it'll be super fun. But again, we don't have to just act like it's the end of the world, and if I don't eat this all today, like, but I'm supporting local economies. It is not supporting our health goals.
Yeah, the local economy loophole.
Right. So you're sharing an appetizer. You're deciding I'm going to prioritize maybe having a cocktail and not dessert. It's about, like, what are you willing to donate to the cause of your health goals? Because that really is progress. You can have things, but you don't have to have it every single day at every single meal. Good point, Donald. I don't know.
you made the point, but okay. Sure, I'll take the credit.
Okay. So the third wheel in this is duration. I don't know. For some reason,
that
was a
third
wheel.
That doesn't sound good. If that's right. Yeah.
So bringing it home. How about that?
There we go.
The last is the duration. So we already talked about frequency, which is, again, every single day. But the duration is, instead of, oh gosh, we had a very big breakfast, the day is ruined, let's also have a very big lunch.
Yeah.
And let's have a big dinner. And guess what? Also, how about Saturday and Sunday and Monday? How about we do it all? Like, we just do it all.
Right.
So instead of having it be every single meal, what if it's, I went off track for breakfast, or we had an indulgent breakfast, I'm just going to get back to my normal habits at the next meal.
Yeah.
Isn't that better than now I'm just going to go out in a blaze of glory, like, in just gain 50 pounds before I'm ready to recommit?
And this was one of the biggest, most crucial steps in hitting my weight goals, was realizing that I could just get right back on track and not throw up my hands and say, everything's ruined because of this one meal, this one day, this one week. Like I was the ability to have an indulgent meal or day, and then the next meal or day, get right back on the plan, that really helped me get to where I am now.
Well, and I think we talk about it a lot, about those, like, it's less about, oh my gosh, I've got an event on Friday night. What am I going to do while I'm there? The bigger question is, what are you going to do tomorrow? Like, do you have a plan for success? Yes, I am going to go back to foods that I know make me feel good. I'm going to focus on protein. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to like pump up the volume with vegetables. Having that recovery plan reduces those durations. Hey, I'm going on vacation. Vacation is still really difficult for Donald and I. We can have ideas about how to reduce the impact of going away on vacation, but what we do most of the time matters more than just those small blips. And being able to get back on plan quickly is real progress, instead of, again, the cone of shame or whatever. And now I've got to stop. Oh no, this is just proof that I'm a failure. I've got to burn this off. Reducing, again, the frequency of the times that you go off track, reducing the volume of food when you go off track, and reducing the duration of how many meals you are off track really are all things that we can celebrate. And so when we let go of that, I've learned my lesson, I'm never going to do it, I know we're like, I'm just re-impressing it upon you. When we let go of that punishment cycle, now I've ruined everything. Oh gosh, I'm up on the scale. This is proof that it just wasn't meant to be for me. When we can step back and really see the progress and be kind to ourselves, that's when like you start realizing, I know I feel better when I take care of myself. I know when I take agency in my choices. I know when I don't act like a victim and make everything like blow everything out of proportion. Like that feels like a much better way to live our lives than to just sulk and pout and then, you know, overeat as revenge for our poor choices.
Yeah. And it allows you to be much more proactive than extreme. You know, it's not this on off switch. It's not this, I'm either doing it in, you know, either I'm all in 100% or I'm out 100%. It allows for your human normal life to occur, and you don't have to do all of these extremes. You can really be proactive in deciding what you are able to do at this season of your life.
Right. So for anyone listening to this episode, what is one thing that you could take away from this? What is one mindset shift? I can get right back on track. Tomorrow, I will go back to my normal behaviors, and I will celebrate that. Associating yourself or identifying as a person who gets right back on track is much better than identifying as someone who is incapable of making progress. So which one might you work on? Frequency, reducing volume, or the duration? For me, I think that getting right back on track after a single event is really kind of the keystone for me of recovery.
Yeah, I think me too.
And so but that could be different for you. Reduce, maybe for you, it's like, oh gosh, I really didn't realize that ordering 7 different entrees was a bad choice. Like, and then like, I know, ha ha ha, but like we used to do that.
I know, all the time.
Yeah, like we're ordering for a family of 12 and we're not. So which one for you is something that you could focus on? Part of that is actually paying attention to being off track and recovery, looking back. And that's why we do, we use our trackers, we use our Fitbits, we use our, you know, calorie tracking apps. Even if I don't track on days that I go over, I can just put in a generic over 8 day thing. And it helps me see like, oh, okay, well that, like I went off for 1 day. That doesn't mean I'm not going to track the whole week. I'm just going to get right back on track. So which one is going to work for you? Which movie did Fievel Moskowitz star in? People still don't know.
I've mentioned it like four times.
How is time spelled? Is it T-H-Y-M-E?
The land before tails, it was called, or the tails before land. I can't remember which, but one of those was the Fievel movie. And there was like there was a second Fievel movie,
many
too,
Fievels.
Wasn't there? Oh, there's
yes.
many Fievels?
There's Sixels.
Was there Fievels of them?
That's not nice. He was a wonderful mouse.
I didn't mean to besmirch the good name of Fievel Mouskowitz. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the show. We really appreciate each and every one of you. Even if you're offended by us besmirching Fievel Mouskowitz, we appreciate you hanging in till the end. All of our episodes are available on our website and on YouTube. I can officially say every single one of our episodes is available on YouTube. You can listen there. There's no video. It's just audio, but that gives you the opportunity to see them all. And the most recent 300 episodes are available on all the major podcast platforms. Wherever you found this episode, or you can go back to the beginning on our website, like I mentioned, at weonlylookthin.com.
Yep, and if you are at weonlylookthin.com, you can click on that link-a-doodle-doo for join our support group, where you can find out more. Our niece actually at one point was like, Catherine says a doodle-doo a lot. Yeah. She adds, that's like the suffix to most things.
You do.
Anybody, snack a doodle do. There's lots of
ways things.
To
doodle
do things.
There's nothing wrong with it. No, we enjoy it here.
So if you're going to doodle do something, click on that link for join our support group and find out more about Wolt Place. Wolt Place is our Facebook-based accountability group for women. We are not a weight loss plan, but we are a place for support and accountability, daily check-ins and Zooms. None of it is mandatory. There's no Wolt Police that's going to show up at your door if you don't do your little check-ins.
Oh, the Wolt Police. We need to make that an episode title.
But you, like, just show up as you are. Work on yourself. It's a lovely group of women who are super supportive. No naysayers, all just positive support. We have two subscription options, a monthly subscription with a 3-day complimentary trial and a 3-month subscription with a 7-day complimentary trial to see if Wolt Place is right for you. Work on your frequency, intensity, and duration with us in Wolt Place.
Yes, please check it out. And you can also check us out on other forms of social media. We are on Instagram and Facebook at We Only Look Thin. And I guess YouTube's not really social media, so I was going to say that, but I don't know. Anyway, you can also find us by emailing us if you would like. Our email address is weonlylookthin@gmail.com. We enjoy episode suggestions. We've turned lots of listener emails into episodes of this show. We'll answer your questions the best we can. And you can also just email us and tell us how awesome and good looking we are. We enjoy those sorts of emails as well.
Yep. And if you want to be a Cool Beans part of our street team, head over to Apple Podcasts.
The Walt Street Team. I like it.
Head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review. Not only does it let us know that what we're doing is making a difference in your life, but it actually really does help other people find our podcast when they are looking for inspirational podcasts like ours. I used to think street teams were like Hell's Angels or something, like they would maraud the streets.
Yeah.
Like I saw the Kiss FM van the other day on the 101 freeway. And I was like, is that the street team? Like they're out to like renegade.
Did you just say the H word, by the way, on our clean podcast?
But that's the name of a
Hex Angels.
Hex Angels.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of those Red Beret guys who used to be in New York.
Those were the Guardian Angels.
The Guardian Angels.
Yeah.
But anyway, join our street team. I'm sorry I said all of that because now I'm off track. But leave us a rating and review. It really, really super duper does doodle do. Let us know that what we're doing is making a difference in
Catherine's life.
She
can't stop saying doodle do. All right. So if you're talking to somebody and you want to throw in a couple doodle do's while you're doing it, it would also be helpful if you would just give us a shout out. If you could recommend the podcast to somebody, that would really be helpful. If it comes up in conversation, if you know know somebody who might get something out of it. It really does help the show grow. Or if you are on the interweb, if you're in a Facebook group or a Reddit group or a Discord server, and it seems appropriate to give us a shout out, we would really appreciate it. It really helps the show grow.
It really does.
So, if you've not really heard anything we've said because you've been thinking too hard about how to do the Applejack Shuffle, please just try and remember that Catherine and I are
an inspiration-ish. It's just a step to the left. And then a kick to the right.
That is the time
Put your
warp.
Hands on your hips. And do shake it, shake it. I don't know what the lyrics are.
Yeah, clearly.
The information that you hear on this podcast is for informational purposes only. The hosts are not medical professionals. You should always consult with your doctor, nurse, or other certified health professional before beginning any diet or fitness programs.